When last I was here in the pulpit, we looked at the foibles of King David. Today we look into the life of his son Solomon. And like his father, Solomon is a complex character. In the reading you heard, Solomon has ascended to the throne of his father David, who, in spite of his misdeeds, was a beloved king. Solomon's succession has emerged out of court intrigue and competition between rival factors. A few people have lost their lives during David's final days, including David's older son, Adonijah, who had designs on the throne himself. But that's over, and now Solomon is king of Israel. Following in the God-honoring ways of David, Solomon goes to Gibeon to worship. And while he is there, God comes to him in a dream and offers him anything he desires. Wow, what an opportunity. If God had said to Solomon, "Talk it over with your best advisors and I'll get back to you," I imagine Solomon would have received lots of different opinions on what he should ask for. But as it happens with dreams, Solomon had to give an answer to God all on his own. He thanks God for all God has done for David and gives a realistic assessment of his own situation, his relative youth and inexperience. He recognizes the enormous responsibility that he has as king. So he asks God for an understanding mind, which could also be translated as a listening heart. And he asks for these things in order to judge God's people and to discern between good and evil. A listening heart, an understanding mind, the ability to discern what is right and good. These qualities are essential to good governance and the administration of justice. Wisdom is the quality that is usually associated with Solomon. In the biblical wisdom literature tradition, wisdom is understood as a gift from God. It's not given just to kings, but to all who faithfully seek it. And wisdom will reward those who acquire it. But it is not for personal gain. The benefit of wisdom is integrally tied to life in one's community and to one's life with God. So what is wisdom? Where does it come from? How do I get it? The Journal of Psychology today manages to sum it up in two short paragraphs. And they start by saying, it can be difficult to define wisdom. But we're going to do it in two paragraphs. It's difficult to define, but people generally recognize it when they encounter it. Psychologists pretty much agree it involves an integration of knowledge, experience, and deep understanding that incorporates tolerance for the uncertainties of life as well as its ups and downs. There's an awareness of how things play out over time, and it confers a sense of balance. Wise people generally share an optimism that life's problems can be solved and experience a certain amount of calm in the facing of difficulties, they say. Intelligence, if only anyone could figure out exactly what that is, may be necessary to wisdom, but definitely isn't sufficient. An ability to see the big picture, a sense of proportion, and considerable introspection also contribute to its development. Have you known a wise person? More than one? One of the wisest people I ever met only had a third grade education. I met him in my first year of training as a student nurse. He was my patient, so I had time, the opportunity to spend time talking with him. He so impressed me that I visited him after he was discharged from the hospital. He was in his late 70s and had been a porter on a Pullman car for the Union Pacific Railroad for more than 50 years. In listening to his stories, it was obvious that he understood a lot about people and how the world worked. In spite of his limited formal education, he continued learning all his life. He was a man who tried to live every day in accordance with his understanding of what God expected of him, and he treated all people with respect. That fount of knowledge, Wikipedia, says that wisdom is also the comprehension of what is true, coupled with optimum judgment as to action. Or simply put, wisdom is the making use of knowledge. Both Wikipedia and the Bible say that the opposite of wisdom is folly. Throughout history, diverse cultures and religions have valued wisdom. The Christian philosopher Thomas Aquinas considered wisdom to be the cause or the father of all virtues. In the Inuit Indian tradition, developing wisdom was the aim of teaching. It was said that a person became wise when they could see what needed to be done and do it successfully without being told what to do. According to Confucius, wisdom can be learned by three methods: reflection, the noblest; imitation, the easiest; and experience, the bitterest. The Buddha says, "The one who leads others by nonviolence, righteously and equitably, is indeed a guardian of justice, wise and righteous." Have you ever heard the expression, "school smart, but bus dumb"? When Francie's dad worked at Rockwell International here in Anaheim, there was a certain building that was for research and development. It was housed by lots of PhDs who, back in the 1970s, were working on micro miniaturization, among other things. And if you've got a cell phone, you can thank them for the work that they did, along with all the other little bitty things we have in our lives that run electronically. The interesting things about these PhDs was that they were very smart and they were very dumb. It was said that they had a wife at home and a secretary in the office who sent them back and forth, making sure they had their lunch, their umbrella when it was raining, that they knew it was time to go home, because these things were not in their thinking. In my usual way of trolling the World Wide Web for information on a topic, I came across an episode of Bill Moyers' journal from PBS, and it is an interview with the scholar and writer Sarah Lawrence Lightfoot, who is a professor at Harvard University. They are discussing her book, The Third Chapter. And in their discussion, they explore the stories of older Americans who have set out on new lives and careers. I would encourage you to look up the episode and listen to the whole thing, but I want to share a part of it with you. Dr. Lightfoot talks about the importance of mentoring, a role she says that she recently accepted responsibility for. She didn't like to do that. She relates her experience with a young 24-year-old Dartmouth student with whom she went knocking on doors during the last presidential campaign. She says, this was a kid who had voluminous knowledge about politics, who was incredibly energetic, who had good ideas. He was completely urgent and impatient and a terrible listener. He was also someone who stereotyped all of New Hampshire as kind of backwards, rural, country people. He believed that they hadn't really thought deeply about the issues of the day, and that all he needed to do was to feed them information, but not really expect them to change. She continues, "My approach was to begin by listening to the people on whose doors we knocked, not beginning with a stereotype, but expecting that they had the capacity to think deeply. So the negotiation of our relationship was one of my helping this young Dartmouth student wait and listen. And for me, it was experiencing and catching his energy, his drive, his impatience, and his optimism." She strongly recommends, as the interview go on, that exchanges between the generations are extremely important in the development of wisdom. As demonstrated with Michael's introduction this morning, being in the presence of an adult who gives you a scratch on the back, who gives you a hug, who listens to you, who shares their experiences with you, helps in the development of the wisdom of each of those individuals. The Bible tells us that Solomon achieved great things, his magnificent building projects, his wisdom, and the fame it brought him. But like David before him, Solomon had his flaws. Later in life, he begins to worship the gods of his many foreign wives. He builds his kingdom through forced labor and heavy taxes. God comes to him again and again and again and explains the consequences of his faithlessness. And after Solomon's death, the kingdom of Israel is split in two again. I tell you this part of the story to remind you that even when those whom God seemed to favor the most made the biggest mistakes and suffered the consequences of their poor choices, God's love for them was not diminished. God was always there, offering radical generosity and grace. A couple of weeks ago when I played the piano, Rick made a comment about, in my vocabulary, failure is always an option. And it is, because I believe that we learn from the mistakes that we make. Sometimes we become much wiser because of our screw-ups. The Bible says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. But of the 48 positive human characteristics associated with wisdom listed on yet another site I found called the Wisdom Page, compassion is first on the list. In the book of Proverbs, wisdom is personified and speaks for herself. Do you hear Lady Wisdom calling? Can you hear Madam Insight raising her voice? She's taken her stand at First and Main, at the busiest intersection, right in the city square, where the traffic is the thickest, and she shouts, "You! I'm talking to all of you. Listen. Learn good sense. Shape up. Don't miss a word of this. I'm telling you how to live well. My mouth chews and savors and relishes truth. I can't stand the taste of evil. I am Lady Wisdom, and I live next to sanity. Knowledge and discretion live just down the street. The fear of God means hating evil, whose ways I hate with a passion. Pride and arrogance and crooked talk. Good counsel and common sense are my characteristics. I am both insight and the virtue to live it out. With my help, leaders rule and lawmakers legislate fairly. With my help, governors govern along with all in legitimate authority. I love those who love me. Those who look for and for me find me. Wealth and glory accompany me. Also, substantial honor and a good name. My benefits are worth more than a big salary, even a very big salary. The returns on me exceed any imaginable bonus. You can find me on Righteous Road. That's where I walk, at the intersection of Justice Avenue, handing out life to those who love me, filling their arms with life, armloads of life. May we seek wisdom each and every day. Would you join me in prayer? Gracious and merciful and trustworthy God, we join our voices in giving thanks. Your works surround us in the beauty and diversity of nature. We are people of the covenant, and we realize that the understanding of the awesomeness of God is the beginning of wisdom. There is much evil in our world today. There are many good things that are easily perverted. We live in a time when profligacy masquerades as progress, and self-centered willfulness makes false claims to wisdom. We claim the authority of God in making our own claims. God's love extends to all creation, and we remember God's steadfast love every day as we pray for Christina during her upcoming surgery on Tuesday, for Mackenzie's cousin, Nikki, who fell and broke her arm yesterday, for Marlene Wills, who has a brain tumor, for Tom and his son, and for those we name silently in our hearts. We pray for the leadership of this country, that they will seek wisdom with an aim toward justice as they make decisions that affect us all. We pray for the members of the council of this congregation, that they will listen for God's wisdom as decisions are made for the life that we share together. Your generosity, God, is beyond our deserving. You desire wellness for our bodies and minds. You surround us with vast resources and with people who love us. You allow us to make decisions about the use of our time and our possessions and relationships. Thank you, God, for the opportunity to share with others some of what we have received through your transforming power, made manifest in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus the Christ, who taught us to pray, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen."